Hello, and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Eshedarel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about experiences in life. We'll try to understand how do the things we experience in life make us who we are. Be with us. It's going to be interesting. Yael, please. So first of all, what is an experience? It's a deep impression. A deep impression of something that you identify with, that inspires you. Something that made a strong imprint in a person. It says that an experience is always a kind of interaction between man and someone or something. And also, man, so it says, is the sum total of his experiences, that our experiences shape who we are. If, for example, we were shunned as children, then it might develop in us a sense of justice. If I succeeded in something in life, then it gives me a feeling that I can, that I'm able. If I'm heartbroken, then it can give me a feeling that I can overcome things, or to the contrary, that maybe it's better not to fall in love, and so on. Many experiences are also related to other people. A person who experienced a strong positive experience with another person will probably grow up to trust people. A person who experienced a very bad experience with another person will be very suspicious of other people in life, and it shapes who we are and how we behave. And I'd like to ask, how do experiences shape who we are? How does it work? It's very simple. We have a memory, what we call reshimo in Hebrew, from the word roshem, impression. Every action, every place, every impression, every experience, it leaves an impression, and this impression enters our memory bank, and this is what we build our outlook of the world from. Whether it's positive or negative, what should we be afraid of? What should we be drawn to? It determines everything. Meaning, all in all, we act out of the impressions that we have from our experiences, and therefore, it's very important, especially in education, also in regard to children, to give them positive experiences and to distance them from negative experiences. There are people that say, no, but a person, he won't know how to deal with things. First of all, you have to give positive, good experiences, and the negative experiences you should give only to the extent to which we know that this will help a child to keep and protect himself, to keep himself from dangerous things, for example, and so on. But all in all, our experiences in life, they all leave an impression, what we call reshimot, informative memories, and we live accordingly. I can't even discern later on, why do I think the way that I do? Why do I look at things or accept things the way that I do? But it all works on autopilot as a result of the experiences that I went through. The next question I'd like to ask is, to what extent is a person aware of what he experiences? Of his experiences in life, of the impression they left on him. First of all, a person is never aware of the experience that he is about to go through or experience. He thinks about it and more or less depicts it, plans his attitude towards it, his relation to it, according to his previous impressions, his previous experiences. He processes his previous impressions in formulas that he also learned from past experiences. And in short, who is man? Man is all in all, the sum total of what he went through in life. And of course, there is the basic character, basic approach, what he has left from his parents, his predecessors, and so on. But all in all, it's the experiences. To what extent can another person understand my experiences? According to his experiences, he can understand yours. Meaning that if there is something that he didn't experience, then he doesn't have the ability to understand what I'm going through. Right, he can only understand something from something. If you'll tell him, explain to him, depict to him your impression of something, then according to his impressions, he can imagine it. But later, when he himself will experience that same thing, he'll say, no, 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 this isn't what I meant, this isn't what I understood. Because really, no one can feel what you feel. It's impossible to pass experiences on to each other. Why? Because it's registered in a person and it's extremely related to a person's nature, to his character, to his DNA, to his everything. For example, in my work, I saw a movie according to a novel by Dickens. The same movie was filmed in Russia, Germany, England, and in the United States. You can't describe how different these things were, meaning they're completely different. I wouldn't think that it's about the same book, as if they all have the same basis, origin. And it left such an impression on me that will people ever be able to understand each other? It's a part of something that I had to do in connection with my doctorate. But this how it is. And it's really a question, as if there is a bug in the system, where in advance, people don't have the same experiences. Secondly, everyone experiences things differently. So, there is a situation where my life is the sum total of my experiences, of the experiences that I had in life. This is how I act and respond to life. So how can another person understand me at all? How can we communicate on a deep and profound level then? Even if we want to, or suppose we have no prejudice, but if we write, for example, about the French Revolution with our own prejudice, then the Americans, the Germans, and the French themselves, you understand how differently they'll write about it. Obviously, so this is the question. Why is the system built this way to begin with, where the chances of there ever being some kind of qualitative communication between us isn't working, but we have to create some kind of a mutual foundation. We have to have some kind of a place, platform, common ground. Where is it? That's what I'm asking. It doesn't exist, but still, we're trying to reach it. understanding that we won't find something ideal, but still, somehow, all the international agreements. Also, we can't examine ourselves to the extent to which we, as if, are talking about the same, but we always mean something else, because everyone has different experiences in life. My question is, why is it made that way? I don't mind countries, I'm talking on the human level. Because every person has a different basis than others, he's very different. He comes from a so-called reshimo, a place in the general soul of Adam Rishon, which is the collective soul. No one came from the same place. Everyone was brought up in a special family, in a special time, with a special character. It's really like a sandwich where the different layers are laid on each other. Were we able to take a deeper look into ourselves, like an X-ray view? We'd see that we stand no chance of getting married, of doing something. It's a good thing that we don't know, that we have no deeper understanding of the matter, that we don't understand the extent to which we don't understand each other. Why is the system built this way? Why do we stand no chance of really profoundly understanding each other? In order to reach a divine experience of love covers all crimes, that we will know that on this level, in this realm, we can't understand each other because, to begin with, we have a different foundation, and therefore we can never truly, deeply understand each other. Because I can't depict life the way that you do in regard to everything, and you will never be able to understand or depict life the way I do either. So now the question is, what do we do? Before, what do we do? Why does it work this way? In order for us to rise above this problem, which is unsolvable, and that we will build some kind of common ground where all of us are equal and that we can connect there, that we disconnect from all of these experiences in life and all of our built-in data, and we reach a state where we connect to the upper force, in the upper force, in the upper force, in the force of bestowal. There we can be together and as one. For example, in a family, there is a husband, wife, many relatives, and so on. And finally, after so many years, their baby boy is born. They waited for him for so many years, and then he's born, and everyone looks at him. He's an angel, and they're none like him. So, you understand the extent to which everyone's willing to connect for his sake. Meaning that there has to be some kind of a really precious image, something that's really precious to us, that for his sake, in our inclination to do good to him, we can forget about all of our personal experiences and to experience the experience of loving him. And that we connect with one another in order to love him and benefit him. So specifically in this way, can we rise above our personal experiences? This was the parable? Yeah. And what's the moral? The moral is that this is how we have to transcend toward the upper force, the creator. The upper force or the creator being what? The force of love, the force of bestowal. A force for which I'm truly willing to transcend and benefit above my own ego. Where specifically by rising above my own ego, this way I can reach bestowal and reach the Creator. And why is it built this way? So that all of us will be able to connect to that one experience, being what? The recognition of the Creator, of the force of bestowal. He also said, love, the recognition of the Creator, of love for the Creator, the recognition of mutual bestowal, and then in Him, we all connect together. So, just to summarize, you said a few moments ago that people will never be able to understand each other because every person consists of the sum total of the experiences that he experienced in life, and each of us had completely different experiences in life, and no one can understand the other. This I understand. And Yael is asking, why is it built, the system, why is it built this way that everyone has their own set of experiences and that none of us can really understand each other? And you said that it's made this way in order for us to reach this divine kind of experience. So what is that? Bestowal. What is bestowal? Bestowal is that which is outside of me, where then all of the experiences that I experience are experiences that are outside of my body, outside of my ego, in giving, in love, that I experience them outside of my ego, outside of my will to receive, that I experience them in the other. If I do these kinds of exercises and I start feeling the other, I reach a state where I really feel these experiences in the other and not in me. And then these are experiences of the so-called third kind. And the experiences that I feel in the other person, not in myself, allow me to understand the other person because they're in them and not in me? Yes, because I disconnect from my own personal experiences, detach from them, and I live in the other and being clothed in the other. And this is the basis for some kind of a human understanding of each other? Yeah. I want to ask, we know that every person, suppose two people go to the same event, everyone experiences it differently. Different things will influence them. People's inner world is completely different. Structure and so on. There are people that barely feel life, meaning barely any event does it for them, affects them. They're not impressed with anything. Yeah, life is kind of like flat, but they don't feel it that way. This is what you think. What then? Because they feel that they're alive. That their life is really even stormy. I gave this example once on one of our talks. I have this acquaintance in Canada. He's a lawyer. He lives in such a place where it's some village where you maybe have 1,000 people, maybe a bit more. And he says that once every few months he has to leave this entire pressure of this stormy life. And, you know, the only thing that you have there are bears. And then he takes, how do you call it? You use it on snow in winter. A sled. Yeah. A sled with, what do you call these animals? Deer. Yeah, usually it's deer and a tour guide, and he goes away for 2 weeks to some place where there's no one and nothing, and then he rests from the stormy life that he thinks that he has among 1,000 people. So it's completely subjective. Yeah. And there are those, like my brother, for example, who lives in a place like Manhattan, but in Canada, in Toronto, in the real center, where there you can really explode from the noise and the tension in the air. And for him, that's life. Calm, ordinary. So, people are very different in this regard. Yeah. Okay. I see that every person in life has his share of experiences, and it's something completely personal. Why did I experience what I experienced? You had your experiences, she had hers. Is it random? Was it planned? It's because, nonetheless, each of us has to reach a special kind of attitude toward other people in order to complete our place in the general human mosaic, which is what the sum total of everyone's experiences, of all generations, of everything that anyone ever experienced. When we put all of these things together, complete each other, connecting with one another correctly, this will be called the end of correction. And then all of these experiences will become as one experience in which we will come to know the upper force that arranged all of this. So, this puzzle is really pre-planned. Yes. Where all in all, everyone gets a piece of that puzzle, and the sum total of everyone completes the sum total of all of the experiences that mankind has to go through. No? So, in this great big puzzle, there are no redundant experiences, because then it will be missing from the puzzle. Of course. So, nothing's redundant. Nothing at all. So, my next question is, why are there people that get more negative and some get more positive experiences in life? It depends on the place of the root of the soul in the general system called the soul of Adam. There is a system in which we exist. It's called Adam. And in this system, everyone has a place where they are like a small cell having to supplement, complete the entire system for it to function correctly. So if I have a, so to speak, bad place, I'll have many negative experiences. Negative, positive, this is something that we have to examine. What I'm asking is, why does some person get more negative experiences and someone else gets more positive experiences? It depends on what that person's role in the soul is. Some of the experiences that a person gets, that's called fate. Usually, we're talking about processes where we say that everything that happens has a special role in man's development and the development of mankind. What is the role of experiences? The role is for a person to learn how to correctly relate to his life, to his entire existence and life. And what is the role of positive experiences in this regard? A person who experiences positive experiences, how does that advance him in life? It probably pulls him forward. It's something very complicated. I don't know how to answer that. It's very complex. These are multifaceted things on many levels. Okay, so I want to ask about something that we talked about before. I understand that there is one general puzzle in which we have all of what? Who's in that puzzle? The souls from all generations, from everything. So the sum total of experiences exist in one puzzle. Each of us gets a piece of that puzzle. So first of all, my piece of puzzle is unique, and so is yours, and so on. And both the negative and positive experiences, they're all needed. Now, I want to ask, previously you said that the set of my experiences determine who I am, and your set determines who you are, and therefore we can't understand each other really, but it advances us towards a divine experience. So I understand that we all come from different pieces of the puzzle. What is a divine experience? Because it sounded kind of mystical, religious. Not at all. It's not mystical or anything. A divine experience is where we all connect with one another, all of us, and we feel the general system. What kind of experience is that? It's an experience in which I feel all the so-called souls, all of the parts that comprise this puzzle, and make it as one. I feel their experiences. We feel the sum total. The sum total of what? Of our connection, where we connect into a single body. Previously you said that in order to experience this divine experience, my attitude should be one of giving, of love, as if to experience something not out of my own private peace, but from someone else's peace. Why does this effort provide us with a divine experience? What's the connection? Because together isn't one. By connecting with one another, we don't feel the sum total, but we rise above our nature, above this world in which all of us feel things in a separate, contradicting way, into a different reality world, so-called upper world, where we're all interconnected, and then the experience is called the upper world, an eternal life, because we don't cut from each other, but we supplement each other. And then the entire system lives an eternal life, and this is how we experience it. And therefore, our entire life is in order to transcend above the corporeal experiences to a spiritual life. So corporeal experiences is where we feel everything separately, cut off from each other, each experiencing only his own piece of puzzle. And spiritual experiences, they're felt where? In the entirety of our connection. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. What an experience. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.